Hello, 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 and welcome to Add This to Your List, Woo! Episode 96.
hold on. Love it.
I think we had a delay there. We had a delay there, listeners. Sorry. We're experimenting with new technology.
Yeah, we're like sort of live, but not live at all.
I am Fumi Simano, joined by Mark J. Barker and Tom Chuba.
Hey, everybody.
It has been quite a week, yes. And yeah. We are going to try to have some fun content to bring you guys today. But yeah, it's been quite intense, I have to say. I've been exhausted, mentally, physically drained. I literally tried to just like sleep this entire day. I've been so tired.
Well, also, yeah. Fum, you're like really in the middle of it in LA.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a lot of, you know, tough stuff and some destruction and some real anger, of course. And you're like right there. You said you could hear a lot of it over the weekend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last night, protesters were in my neighborhood. And then they started to like infiltrate into like, they were trying to get into Beverly Hills. And so my neighborhood is like, passing through, you have to get through my neighborhood to get to Beverly Hills. And it was just really intense. I mean, it was like, we're on a curfew right now. So right now, technically, we're all have to be in our homes. And then last night, the curfew started at 8 o'clock, but it was just like loud helicopters all day, all night, cops, sirens.
Wow.
I could hear like, I think they were gunshots of like rubber bullets. They might have been fireworks. I have no idea.
Oh my God.
Could you hear glass breaking or not that intense?
No, I couldn't hear glass breaking, thank God. But they definitely have the destruction on like in the surrounding streets surrounding me has been pretty crazy.
Wow.
To see. So, you know, it is what it is. People are really tired of what's been happening. I am as well. Mm-hmm. And it's just like,
I am really, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a really tough, it's just a tough time. Like it's just all around when you tackle on, you know, the deaths of Black people by the hands of police. And then you tackle on protesting, you tackle on COVID, you tackle on leadership. It's just like non-stop.
Mm-hmm.
So exhausting. So yeah, you know.
Yeah, we'll try to keep things light, I guess.
Yeah, we'll keep them
as
light.
As best we can.
Yep. Yeah.
You want to make, you got to be able to laugh through all of the sadness as well, and that's really important. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to
And at least on the entertainment front, it was a big week for news, but it was kind of also a big week for entertainment with, we have a new Drag Race Queen, we have HBO Max, we have new Gaga, other, you know, dumb stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we sure do. I mean, so let's kick it off. Let's start into housekeeping and headlines. Tom, why don't you go first? You've got some housekeeping, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we previously talked about the Scream 5 film in the works, and it's a whole new studio. Obviously, Dimension's not involved. There was talk that Neve Campbell was being approached to reprise her role as Sydney. Nothing's really official yet on that front. However, it is confirmed that David Arquette is returning as Dewey. So there is going some form of continuity from the previous Scream films in the new Scream film.
Totally.
So that was a little bit exciting, and I breathed a little bit of a sigh of relief when I heard that, because I think we all agreed we're a little nervous about where the new film will go. So
yeah, definitely. But Neve did say a couple weeks ago that she got a really respectful letter from the new directors. So that's cool. So she's probably going to be coming on soon, I bet. I bet in the coming weeks, months, I have a feeling Courtney Cox will be sort of a holdout because...
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. I was wondering what she's going to do. Right? Where do we think her head is at?
I would be surprised if she said no. I mean, she's a pivotal character. To me, Gale is more of a character than Dewey is in the franchise. Like, Dewey's the one that
I would agree.
You know what I mean? But David Arquette's available, and, you know, he's like, yeah, sure, of course. So Courtney's got to join, but I wonder, I mean, she's still today the most expensive of all three, you know, with the Friends money and with her other
of course, you know.
So it'll be interesting because she hasn't really uttered a peep about any of it, so yeah. But very exciting, you know. And I we were listening to Tom and I listened to the Kevin Williamson interview on that other podcast, Shockwaves, and so he's involved and excited about it, so it's coming together. I'm feeling better.
I think it'll be, hopefully, well, fingers crossed, it'll be good.
Yeah.
Mark, what's your news?
So also
housekeeping.
Absolutely. I got a little update for us. Also horror related. So listeners, you've heard us talk multiple times about the new Universal horror monster movie reboots. We even as back, you know, Halloween, our Halloween episode, we talked about our kind of ideal casting for new reboots, right? Well, I thought this was very interesting. I read it last night. It was announced on Friday, last Friday, that Ryan Gosling is officially the Wolfman.
It's kind of perfect, isn't it?
It's interesting because he's been a little quiet lately. I mean, he was in First Man, which didn't end up really going too far for him. And
Fubi
then
and I try to stay awake during that during Toronto.
Right.
Definitely did not.
Yeah, I haven't even tried to watch it. I'm just like, meh. But so he's been a little quiet. So this is kind of interesting because, you know, he's obviously A-list. He's done a lot of movies, but he's been really doing the, you know, award movies. Not that this wouldn't be one, but this is a little bit more of a fun genre thing that he hasn't done in quite some time. And what's cool is he pitched the idea. He's involved creatively as well. He's not writing it. There is a duo of writers, I think two female writers that are on board. Orange is the New Black writers, Lauren Shuker Blum and Rebecca Angelo. So that's kind of maybe it'll be sort of comedic, but it's based on an original pitch by Ryan Gosling. So that's kind of fun. He'll be so he is a reporter. It's apparently going to feel like Nightcrawler, which I loved, that Jake Gyllenhaal movie from a few years ago. Did you guys check
Nightcrawler? Yes, when he was a police officer.
No, mm-hmm. he's like a...
Or a dirty security guard?
No, that was... he's like a camera guy. He works with
Nightwatch.
Nightcrawler? Was that what it was? Yeah, Nightcrawler. He's like an ambulance chaser. He like records those like late night like murder stories and everything, but he's like, he gets so obsessed with it that he starts kind of like trying to create crimes to like, you know, create a story.
Yep.
So apparently it'll feel kind of like that kind of dirty, gritty, you know, and so Ryan Gosling is a reporter turned Wolfman. So I'm kind of cool with this. This sounds fun.
Yeah, I agree. You
know? Yeah. So I'm into it.
And my housekeeping is, now that we officially have the launch of HBO Max and we've had Apple TV and we've had Quibi, only thing left, I think, is Peacock.
Yeah.
I think that we have distinct winners and losers of the streaming wars. And I feel like a winner is definitely Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And maybe HBO Max will probably, I mean, they did befuddle this entire launch. I mean, it's the HBO
the
Max,
reviews
HBO
are not
Go,
good for
HBO
it.
Now is so confusing.
I'm
it's
so
like,
confused. Like,
so ridiculous.
We have three HBO apps, everyone. I'm not sure which one you're watching. You'll figure it out at some point.
No bueno.
No, yeah, that's really bad. But I think that eventually their library will be really, really good.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know, you guys. What do you think? I have to say, I feel like Apple and Quibi, unfortunately, are losers in this entire situation.
And I'm talking about an Apple show later in this episode. See, Quibi, unfortunately, is a loser. I like it, though. Some of those shows,
I haven't watched
good.
A single thing since we talked about
it. Oh, really? Okay. I'm a little behind. But that show, The Stranger, that I mentioned, it's a scary show on Quibi, is so good. And I've noticed the stars are doing a lot of virtual Q&As, so they are pushing for eventual awards, which I think is
but are you going to pay for this
Quibi? I'm not sure. I don't want to pay. Well, I don't pay for HBO. I borrow it from friends. But luckily, HBO Max, did you try it, Foom? Did you download the app?
Not yet.
I did, and
I
was able to borrow it from a friend. And what's nice about HBO Max, everyone, in case you haven't tried it, they, unlike Quibi and unlike Apple TV, they, much like Netflix and Disney Plus, have sub profiles, which is great for sharing, for dividing the cost if you want with your friends.
No kidding.
So that is super helpful because that was starting to become not so common anymore, you know, with these newer apps. So you can have sub profiles. And guys, you two especially know, I kind of wasn't that excited for HBO Max. I didn't really get it. I'm starting to see the light. I haven't checked out their originals yet, but like their library is quite huge, and I kind of like the interface. It's the only place where you can watch the entire Harry Potter franchise, the entire Nightmare on Elm Street franchise, and like all of Friends. It's like the most random shit that you're like, okay, that's kind of cool, you know? So I don't know. I don't know yet if they're a winner or a loser. I don't know. It's too soon.
And Tom, do you have a, do you have ideas or thoughts?
I think any streamer is going to have a hard time beating Netflix and Hulu. They just got out ahead of the game, and I still think that they are the cream of the crop. They just are.
Yeah, I hear you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Netflix is pulling no punches with this quarantine, man. They are just coming out with content left and right.
They must have a lot.
Well, Ted said that he's coming, he's getting close to the end of the pipeline, so.
They got to start production soon.
Yeah.
Or it's like, Ted, maybe
like,
this,
we gotta get going.
Maybe this Friday, just don't release anything. Just play right, up Dead right? to Me season 2.
Exactly. Let people get used to what you released a month ago, you know?
I mean, me personally, with everything, I'm still feeling like I'm drowning. So it's okay if you don't want to release something this week. Like, it's let me catch up.
Yeah. Let people catch up. Exactly.
Right?
Going into headlines, Tom.
Yes. Sorry, I literally blanked on my... Oh, so
yes. You're talking about Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes, I know I am. I'm always talking about Jamie Lee Curtis. Jamie Lee Curtis, I thought this was interesting. She signed a 3-year deal, a first look deal with Blumhouse. No surprise. Cool. She led Blumhouse to a huge box office success with Halloween 2018. Fingers crossed that Halloween Kills is still going to come out this year. But yeah, I think Jason is awarding her for raking in a lot of money for him, and it makes sense. She's got first look to either star, produce, or direct, or direct any film that she gets her eyes on. So I think that was pretty interesting.
I like that. I mean, she's a scream queen. So here's the thing. I love her in Halloween, but I'm ready to see her in a different kind of thriller. That's cool.
Yep. You totally.
Know? Yeah. That's awesome.
Mark, what's your headline?
My headline is, I'm not sure how I feel about this guy. So Scott Derrickson, who's a director I like, he did the first Sinister. I was about to say Insidious, but wrong Blumhouse horror movie. Sinister, which I thought was really effing scary.
Yep, it was.
He also did Doctor Strange, the Marvel movie Doctor Strange, which I didn't love, but I thought it had some really cool stuff and like a cool cast. And he's a little darker. He actually left Doctor Strange 2 because he wanted it apparently to be scarier, and Marvel was like, we don't want to do scary. Anyway, so he's an interesting creative guy, and he has officially been announced to direct Labyrinth 2. Yes, Labyrinth from like 1986 with David Bowie and Jennifer Connelly when she was like 14. Yeah, that Labyrinth. Decades later.
Why?
I know. Because I love that movie. I've always loved that movie. It's so wacky and weird.
I don't get the hype.
Oh, you don't like the movie, Tom?
No.
Oh, God, that's weird. I love that movie. I quote it. I love it. You got David Bowie's weird bulge that is like way distracting. But and Jennifer Connelly's so cute in it. Anyway, we're getting a sequel. I just don't know if we need one. This feels a little, I don't know. We'll see. But knowing that he's attached, okay. I'm kind of like, that's interesting. So that's all we know so far. We don't know if anyone's coming back other, you know, anyone from the original movie like Jennifer Connelly. So we'll see. But Labyrinth 2 with Scott Derrickson. Get ready for it.
And I just quickly wanted to mention that I don't know if you guys have checked out John Krasinski's Some Good News. Have you guys watched it?
I've seen clips of it on Facebook.
Yes, I've watched a couple episodes. I watched when he surprised a little girl with the Hamilton cast, which was super cute. Yeah.
Well, he signed to Viacom CBS in a massive, massive bidding war over the show. Viacom CBS ended up purchasing it. So it's going to be coming to all of us whenever production starts up again as like an actual program. However, John is not going to be part of it. He's going to be but he's not going to be hosting it.
No, why wouldn't he be host? Do you think that's his call, Foom? Do you think
it's his call because he's too busy. He's too busy. And so he's not going to be hosting it. And so in my mind, I'm like, it's literally the reason why this show is successful.
It's because he's in it and Emily Blunt pops in. And it's like, I am watching it because I want to see what's inside their house.
Right. Right. So I'm just kind of like the thought process there. I'm like, this is going to be interesting, but whatever. So yeah. The massive bidding war, good for them, more money in his pocket. And we'll see what this show looks like without him as the host.
I don't know about this. You're so right. From the whole point of it is that it's him, and it's a makeshift show with, like, you know, paper signs. Like, it feels so nice and small to make it a real show. It's like, this kind of smells like a fast cancellation to me, but I mean,
the check is made though.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's all cares about, you know, totally. Like the check is written.
Totally.
So odd. That's it for housekeeping and headlines.
Yeah. Lots to talk. Well, everyone, that was the entertainment news side of things. And now we are going to get into the entertainment side of things. Are we ready for the list?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
Okay. Here we go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the time where we tell you what we are watching, what we're loving, hating, skipping, all that jazz. Let's hear from Tom. What did you watch these last 2 weeks?
Okay, so first thing on my list is a Netflix documentary. Yes, listeners, you're listening to Tom, not Fumi. Shocker, I know.
Don't worry, a Netflix show will make it on mine.
Oh, gosh.
I bet it will.
Our sponsor, Netflix. Psych.
It is a Netflix documentary called A Secret Love. It is a beautiful hour and a half documentary about two women who fell in love in the 1940s. They were both Canadian women who came down to the U.S., and they played in the Women's Baseball League that the movie A League of Their Own is based off of. You know, very successful, very popular 80s movie. Mm-hmm. They were actually in that baseball league. They met each other playing in that league. They fell in love. They have a relationship that's 50, 60, however many years, 1940s was ago. And it just chronicles how now in their old age, they're deciding what they're going to do because they really love their home that they've worked so hard to purchase and live in together, but both of their health is failing. And so they're trying to decide whether or not they should try and stay in their home or if they need to call it quits and go into a nursing home. Wonderful, wonderful movie. Great historical aspects. There's some really great photos and film footage from the 1940s. And if you're a history buff like me, that's just like golden to have that. I like the focus on a lesbian love because, you know, much of LGBTQ media from my perspective is focused more on gay men than on lesbian women.
Mm-hmm.
So to get that true story was really nice. I highly recommend it, especially with Pride Month coming out. Give it a watch. It's like an hour and 25 minutes, like I said. And the women are so sweet and everybody in their family, they're just wonderful people. It just makes you feel so good. And check it out. I thought it was fantastic. Had either of you heard of it? I'd seen it because The Advocate was promoting the fuck out of it, the gay magazine. So on social.
So of course, Tom's got his subscription.
Yeah, no, I saw it because obviously Netflix.
And Fumi's got her subscription.
But I haven't. I was interested in watching it, but it's lower on my list, but I'll probably eventually get to it. I'm surprised you watched it. It's a documentary.
I know, girl. It was actually Jeff who was like, let's watch it. And I was like, all right. Well, I read about it.
And how long? How long is it, Tom?
An hour and 25 minutes.
Okay, right in your limit.
Right in my sweet spot.
Nice. I heard about it. I actually know someone who I work with who knows the director of the doc.
Oh, very cool.
So I've been seeing it posted on my feed a lot. So that's cool. And Ryan Murphy produced it, I believe.
Yes, it's produced by Ryan Murphy and Jason Blum, Blumhouse.
Oh,
Blumhouse produced it as well.
Interesting.
Yes.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Nice little tidbit there. I forgot about that. Totally, totally, totally.
That's awesome.
And you can see the Ryan Murphy influence too when you watch it. You'll see what I mean.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Second thing on my list is a wonderful little gem, also gay related, but hey, it's Pride Month tomorrow, so give me a break.
Happy Pride.
It is a little gem called Out, and that is a short film that you can find on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. It is Pixar. So it's Pixar animation. Not to the standards of animation that they've been known for recently. It kind of has a little bit of a classic feel to it. It's kind of a mix between traditional animation and stop motion, kind of.
Yeah, it feels a little, you're right, it's a little stop motion-y. A slight bit like kind of, it's not super smooth.
Right, exactly.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So it's a short film, 9 minutes, adorable. Add it to your list as well. It is about a gay couple preparing to move in together. And one of the guys in the couple has not yet told his parents. And on the day that he's packing up his apartment to move, his parents make a surprise visit for to come and help him out. So, of course, that throws everything into disarray. There's other things that happen in the film, too, magic related, that I don't really want to spoil for people. A little weird, that part.
Very weird, Tom.
I didn't quite get it.
Felt like a different movie.
Right. Right. And then, you know, the whole throwing in the techno music whenever the magic becomes a part of the story, mm-hmm. because gays love their techno music, I thought was a little cliche. But all in all, the film has a very good message, and it's very sweet, it's very endearing, and it does involve a dog, and I'm a sucker because I love dogs. Mm-hmm. So
there's some good dog action.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But totally. Yeah, a little odd. It was almost like two movies melded into one.
Right? Yeah, I did not love the magic element. I don't know how
I
to
feel like it could have worked without it.
I liked the magic element once it was happening, but I did not like these magical beings. I'll just say that because I don't want to spoil it as well, Tom. I did not like them. I did not. Yeah, I felt kind of like, oh, so none of this would have happened without magic. Like they can't just
right.
come together on their own and like all be cool with each other on their own, you know? Yeah, but yep. It's cute. I'm glad it exists.
Check it out. It's on Disney Plus. It's free if you have it. And for Disney to put that on their platform, that's huge. They obviously did it for Pride Month, so go Disney.
Absolutely. Cool. Good choices. All right, Foom, tell us, what have you been watching?
Okay, so the first thing on my list is the Dirty John sequel, Buddy Broderick. It's going to be on USA this time around.
Yeah.
And it stars Amanda Peet as Betty and Christian Slater, who is nice to see because we haven't seen him in a minute, I feel like, as her ex-husband-to-be, soon-to-be ex-husband, Daniel. And it is obviously based on a true story. People are not familiar with this. It is a murder that happened in the early 1990s. A woman who felt like her husband left her and abandoned her. She murders him and his new wife. So that is what happened. It is a true story. This happened in the 90s. So as we know, Dirty John takes real stories and recreates them. And I have to say, you guys, it's an ad. It was such a fun watch.
It looks good.
It's so good. And I have to say, I really, really enjoy Amanda Peet.
Yes. I love Amanda Peet. I'm hoping this gives her a resurgence.
Yes.
She is such a good actress. There are moments in this show where she is like batshit crazy, but she plays on the comedy of it so well.
She's actually great at comedy, and she's great at making really serious, you know, sad or dramatic stuff kind of funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And she totally does. There's one moment in the episode where she's in the middle of her divorce proceedings and her lawyer's warning her to stop pushing his buttons. Mm. And she does anyway. And then she gets a call from a lawyer and her parents are at the house and her kids are there. And she's like on the phone with the lawyer and her eye kind of starts twitching because of some news she gets. And she like, you can tell she's so angry. She's about to lose her shit. And she like puts on a smile and grabs her keys and her coat and her purse. And she's like, I'll be right back, guys. And she like smiles. And the next thing you know, she's in her car like gunning it. Like she's ready to do some destruction.
Wow.
But it's so fun the way the entire scene plays out. You just have to crack yourself up about it. Or she'll always like, whenever she gets a phone call from her husband, she'll like check her hair. And her makeup for a phone call.
Interesting. So it's a very nuanced performance. So it's a very, very,
very
nuanced.
But obviously it takes place in the 90s. It's a lot of fun, I have to say.
Better than the previous?
I liked Dirty John, but I liked it. Like, you guys know how I feel about stupid women. Like, I hate when...
The podcast?
Connie Britton's character was
what an idiot. And it's really unfortunate. So this one, I feel like you're not going to get that. You're just going to get really good acting on top of, like, a really interesting story. play out.
Yeah.
So the anger aspect of it won't be there for me, which means I'll enjoy it more.
Good. Yeah. Because okay. The podcast of season one, at least, I don't know if there was a season two of the podcast or now if it's just strictly TV, but the podcast of season one was awesome. And then the show, yeah, like we had talked about it on this show. It was fine. There were some good moments. I watched all of it. I obviously liked it enough to keep watching, but meh. So it's
interesting
that it's not on Bravo anymore, because I think Bravo realized this just isn't for us.
That's not for them, yeah.
You know?
Are the stakes as high, Fumi, in the second season story?
What do you mean?
Like, as dangerous as season one's was. You know, the stakes were real high for her.
How it kept ramping up, you mean? Yeah.
Is he as dangerous of a man as Eric Bana's character was?
Well, I don't see it. I see the manipulation of how he manipulates her and their marriage and the situation. And there's this really, really like awful scene towards the end. I don't want to give it away, but you kind of just watch it and you're like, damn, like, did she even stand a chance in terms of their divorce? Okay. But, you know, I think it'll be interesting to really play on. They're obviously going to be emotional in terms of, like, are you going to take his side or her side? Is she crazy? Does he just make her seem like it? Like, I think that aspect will constantly be there. And as the episodes progress and then you meet his new wife, it'll get more and more intense.
Okay.
Cool. I can't.
Yeah, it's so good. So definitely watch Dirty John.
But no, wait, because I do have to say, it's like the longest title ever. So the title is Dirty John, Betty, the Betty Broderick story or something like that?
It's just Dirty John, Betty Broderick. Broderick story. It is the Betty Broderick story.
Because like, why not just call it like... You can have a series, but it doesn't always have to be called Dirty John, because now that's going to be confusing. Like, people are going to be like,
right.
Like, just call it Dirty Betty then. You know what I mean? Like, just always call it like the Dirty series. Like, whoever's the next one, Dirty Jack, Dirty Rachel. I don't know.
No, it's I don't know. They guess they tacked it on Dirty. It is Dirty John. Dirty John Betty. Story.
Dirty John Betty. Okay.
You got to pick and choose your battles, Mark.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
I know, right?
Okay. It's the full name, baby. Okay.
And then the second thing on my list is such a cute, fun movie. It's called The Lovebirds, and it's on Netflix. It is an ad. It stars Issa Rae and Kumail Nanjiani, and they play a couple who are on the verge of breaking up, and on their date night, their car gets hijacked, and what they think is a police officer chasing a bad guy, but ends up being a murderer murdering a man. And then hijinks ensues as they try to prove their innocence. And it's such a funny, funny movie, but there are also elements where like you jump because you're like, oh my God, what's gonna happen?
It reminds me very much of Game Night in that
oh
aspect.
Yeah, I could see that.
Oh,
at least
yeah,
from
yeah,
the
yeah.
trailer from the
I
trailer I haven't seen
see,
the movie.
I can see that comparison. While Game Night did make me laugh, I think that this one made me laugh even more per se.
Well, I had seen the trailer. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I saw the trailer in the movie theater when that was still a thing, remember?
Yeah,
people?
Yeah.
And I remember
it was supposed to be in the theater.
Yeah, yeah, it was supposed to be in theaters. And I remember laughing so fucking hard at the point when the horse is backing up and Kumail's like,
oh my
is
god,
he gonna shit on me? And it was the last trailer and it was a serious movie, and like 10 minutes into the movie that we were watching, I was still
You're
cracking
still laughing?
Up. And Jeff was like, what is so funny? And I was like, the horse thing. He was like, stop it. He was it was the Ben Affleck movie that we were watching.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
I could not stop laughing. He's like, is it going to shit on me? And I just...
It is a funny scene. I don't know if it's that funny, but it is a funny scene. But no, they just do such a fantastic job of playing off of each other. And it's also refreshing to see a couple that looks like them as like the couple in a movie. So add it to your list. I don't want to give a lot away because it's such a simple plot, but the comedic aspects of it are just hilarious.
That's
absolutely
awesome.
Hilarious.
Cool.
Yeah, because when was that supposed to come out in theaters? I think, was it supposed to be
right
like
around now-ish,
April, May?
April or now, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I think that's pretty cool that they quickly, you know, repositioned
pivoted.
It as, Netflix. I think does it seem, Foom, like, at least, I haven't really seen the trailer, but like little clips and images I've seen, it feels like a good Netflix choice.
Yeah, it's such, to me, I wouldn't, if I didn't know that this was supposed to originally be in theaters, I would have never Like, yeah. You can't tell. Like, it's definitely, like, not one of those movies. You're like, oh, this is definitely a Netflix movie, or this is definitely should have been in the theaters. Mm. It's just a good movie that happens to be on Netflix that's awesome. Just really good to watch.
And Kumail isn't annoying, because I know sometimes...
No, he's not. I totally see that, you guys, but honestly, he is so hilarious in this. He plays off of Issa Rae so well.
Like, that's awesome.
Play off of each other.
Cool.
So good.
I listened to a recent interview with her on the podcast Keep It, and she was saying, like, because he's such a comedian that she really, like, met her match, she was saying, like, on set, and, like, she was a little overwhelmed by all the different things he does. So that's cool. That's a really good combo.
They have, like, this whole opening monologue of them having an argument about The Amazing Race, and it kind of carries through throughout the entire film.
That's fun.
And even just that, you're just like, oh, this is going to be good. Like, you notice from just that moment at the top, you're like, oh, this is going to be good. They're going to play off each other really, really well.
Nice. Love it. Okay. So that was Fumi's pick. Awesome. Next is me, and I have two items to talk to you guys about as well. Two things I'm actually very excited to chat about. Two TV shows. The first one on Apple TV Plus. So I know Fum, you know, isn't really into Apple TV. Well, guess what? I am, and I am loving the show Defending Jacob. We talked a little bit about the show offline because Tom wanted to check it out because it stars the beautiful Chris.
The beautiful.
Evans. I was about to say Pine. Another very pretty Chris. Oh no. Okay. Tom is shaking his head. No. Chris Evans, who, can I just tell you guys, now that he's not in the Captain America suit and he's wearing just regular human suits, I mean, this man is, like, freakishly beautiful. It's crazy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean,
you
he's
don't
always...
pay attention to him when he's, like, dressed up for the award shows?
I mean, I do, but, like, I don't know. I mean, Apple TV shows are beautifully shot, and this show is no exception, beautifully shot. But I swear, guys, he is, like, prettier than Michelle Dockery on the show, who plays his wife. Like, he has glam. He has the lights. He's, I don't know, something. I'm like.
Can I ask a question? Is he believable as a father of a teenager, though?
Great question, Tom. He is. He's really good, but just his look. I mean, his acting.
He doesn't look old enough to me.
He does not, because his son is Jaden Martell, I think that's his name. He's been doing a bunch of stuff.
The dude from the It movies.
It and what's the big
Masters
one?
Masters of Sex.
Knives Out, all that stuff.
Yeah, that too. Yep.
He is playing a 14-year-old, and, like, Chris Evans is maybe the father of, like, an 8-year-old, maybe.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? So,
how old is Chris Evans? Oh, he's only 38. Oh, God, he's perfect age, too.
Fumi's like, I'm available. So, yeah, I mean, he could play a dad, and he's very good. He's very, very good in this show. But, yeah, I'm like, 14? Like, you had that kid young. So it stars Chris Evans, Michelle Dockery, Jaden Martell. It stars one of my all-time faves, Cherry Jones, who I just
love her.
We named our car Cherry because not only it's red, but we were like, Cherry Jones, she's Cherry.
Who
Jones
is that?
Junior. You know,
she's a character actress. You would know her if you saw her.
She's an old lesbian. She's been in a million things. Foom, I first fell in love with her back in the day when she was in The Village. M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, I know
Village.
Who that is.
I fell in love with her in Signs before that.
Oh, I forgot she was in.
She was
the
sheriff. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! You know what's funny? I always think of Cameron Manheim as the sheriff with the huge hat because that was Scary Movie 3. That's
Signs. Yeah.
Yes, I forgot that was her. Yeah, totally, Tom. I hear you. So Defending Jacob, guys, it's an add this to your list. I really like it. I know, you know, Apple TV people are still maybe on the fence about. Defending Jacob is bingeable. It was like 1:15 a.m. and I was like not fading and I wanted to keep watching it. I'm into it. It's a good murder mystery family drama based on a book, based on a novel of the same name. What's interesting is it's 8 episodes. It just aired its finale just last week. So I'm a little behind. I'm on like episode 3 now. Every script is written by Mark Baumbach and every episode is directed by Morten Tildum, who's done some things. I think he did, The Imitation Game or one of those like Benedict Cumberbatch, like, you know, period pieces that was nominated for the Oscars. So it's got some good creative people. And it's a murder mystery. It's all about the murder of a teen boy in town. It takes place in Newton, Massachusetts, which is funny because I think Chris Evans is from Mass.
He is.
Every now and then you hear a little bit of a Mass accent. It's a murder mystery that we find out pretty soon. I don't think at the very end of episode 1, we start to realize that their son, Jacob, is actually sort of a suspect, and then things really pick up in episode two. So for anyone out there that thinks episode one's fine but not great, I'm telling you, just get to episode two and it gets good. Cherry Jones is their lawyer. And what's so good about this show is, of course, not only is it a good murder mystery, but it really shows you the effect that all of this can have on a family. You know, their son is in jail for the night. You know, all the paparazzi, all these media people outside their door. And, you know, Cherry Jones is like, you know, do not show any emotion. It's in your best interest to like just stay robotic. Like, you really feel that nervousness, that claustrophobia. It's great. And
is there a sex scene between Michelle and Chris so far?
Oh my gosh. Well, you know what's funny, Tom? I just finished episode three, so I haven't seen anything yet, but it's funny. In episode one or two, they're in bed together, like just cuddling. And for a second, like we only see like Michelle. And for a second, I thought, oh, is Chris Evans like, what is he wearing? Is he wearing anything? But he's wearing a t-shirt. But it is so funny to say that, because I literally was like, because it was a wide shot. So I'm like, wait, okay, zoom in. What's Chris looking like? So he's in like a white V-neck. So, you know, sure. I have a feeling, Tom, this is
it's not that show. And she gets down too. Like, she'll do a sex scene.
Yeah, because she was on what? Good Trouble, was it? No.
Oh, Good Behavior. Such a good show.
Yes. Such a good show. I don't think he will.
I think he's shy though.
Well, I mean, really? his first movie, do you remember his first
That's
movie?
That's so disappointing.
Was Not Another Teen Movie. I love that movie. He came out in the whipped cream on his, you know what?
So, I mean, know, but Mark, I'm needing to see like the actual.
Oh, no. He's not doing that. No. We'll be lucky if we see, you know, a peck or two, but I don't even know.
Oh, I'm not interested.
That's
in
so
that.
Boring.
I'm not interested.
You guys are too.
No, I think I might check it out because my friend Bobby has been like,
oh, yeah.
Literally will not stop talking about the show.
Oh, good. Yeah, I had heard good word of mouth as well. I knew I was going to check it out, but it wasn't, I didn't know it was such a priority until some people told me, like, it's good. Because, you know, it's a murder mystery, but it's, you know, we've seen it before. It's kind of reminding me of Broadchurch. You know, that whole thing. But what's really cool is you really, as of right now where I am, you do not know if the son did it. You think no, but like, and then there's some other suspects. So check out Defending Jacob. I really like it. It's something that just pulls you right in, and it really shows you all the different sides of it. And also, he's the Chris Evans plays the assistant district attorney. So it's really interesting. Once his son is a suspect, he can't be on the case anymore. He can't even do his job. So all that fallout, it's very stressful. Check it out. I recommend it. And the other show I recommend, I'm loving, I sort of just stumbled upon it, brand new show on the Food Network, which I rarely ever watch. I'm also watching Sonia Morgan, Fumi and my goddess, Sonia Morgan on Worst Cooks in America, the Celebrity Edition.
Oh, the
crazy show.
Martha Stewart one?
No, this is with Anne Burrell. It's also on Food Network, but it's like her, Bridget Everett, Dave Coulier, different people. But the show I really want to talk about is Amy Schumer Learns to Cook on the Food Network.
I've heard good things about this.
It is so enjoyable, guys. It's so fun, especially right now. I know in past couple episodes we've been saying, you know, it's nice to just have a laugh or a nice light show, especially this week for me. I found myself wanting to just like zone out in front of bad reality TV. Well, this is good reality TV. It's all about COVID. So we follow Amy Schumer and her husband, Chris Fisher, who is a chef, who I didn't know much about, but he's so charming and so fun. Their dynamic is great. I highly recommend Amy Schumer Learns to Cook. She cracks jokes, of course, while he's cooking. She's usually in charge of making the drinks while he's like preparing like three course meals. And she really doesn't know how a lot of this stuff goes. But what's great is it's delicious stuff. We've already made a salad and a sangria from the show.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
Oh, nice.
And what's great about Food Network, guys, in case you didn't know, I didn't know. They put like all the ingredients online. They put like the whole recipes. Yep. So yeah, it's very easy and it's nice to watch. It's like they're in their beautiful rustic like house in the woods. That must be their second or third home. And their nanny is holding a camera. There's like cameras set up in their kitchen. Their dog's walking around and they show the little boy, which is super cute when they eat together. But yeah, they make different things. Everything from drinks to pasta to salads and, you know, crostinis. I love it. It's so fun. It's fun to see them bicker a little bit.
Is this before or after the baby?
After the baby. So you meet the little baby Gene. He sits with them sometimes and he's super cute. And I kind of think it's cool that they're like showing him already, because I know a lot of celebrity couples, you know, don't want to show off their kids.
Half hour episodes or full hour?
It's an hour. It's an hour. With commercials, it's like 40 minutes. But it's fast. They cook a lot of stuff. And each episode, there's like five things they make. Like, so, but it's great. Like, it's all about COVID. So it's all self-produced. You can hear, I don't know how. Maybe it's on a speakerphone.
Wait, I have to say, I am so sick and tired of looking at like self-produced, like quarantine type shows.
I totally hear
so
you.
I'm sure I would love it, but that totally turns me off because I cannot stand looking at that like box and box screen anymore.
No. Yeah, I totally hear you, but this, all the cameras are actually there in their house. So the only thing is it looks a little grainy every now and then because it's not a super high-tech camera. Although I looked up the camera that the nanny's holding. The nanny's in the kitchen with them the whole time just recording and eating at the same time. And it's like a $15,000 or $2,000 camera. So, I mean, it's like pretty legit. But I totally hear you, Foom, because I cannot stand these goddamn COVID commercials I keep seeing on Hulu, because they air the same commercials. I keep seeing the goddamn like thing about Microsoft Teams. It's like, I don't give a fuck. I want to see, you know, this is different. I swear. You're not seeing Zoom. It's them in their house doing their thing. And they're just having to be almost like hidden cameras around their kitchen. So it's a little different. While they're quarantining, they're cooking together. So I really like it. It puts a smile on my face, and I actually am learning some good recipes. So check out Amy Schumer Learns to Cook. I feel like it should be called Amy Schumer Learns How to Cook, but you know, okay, sure. Let's just shorten it. So yes, add that to your list, and let's add up our list. Wow, guys, 6 ads tonight. So this is a lot for you listeners to watch. We had to recap on Netflix, a documentary called A Secret Love that Tom loves, and it's not so secret that he loves it. Also on Netflix, a movie that Fumi loves, also with the word love in it. Whoa, The Lovebirds. So check out A Secret Love and The Lovebirds on Netflix. Check out Out, a Pixar short on Disney Plus. Also, we are telling you to add Dirty John, Betty Broderick, Betty, something like that. Dirty John, Betty, Dirty Betty on USA. Check that out. I'm super excited to check that out. And then I had Amy Schumer Learns to Cook on the Food Network and Defending Jacob on Apple TV Plus. Sadly, no Chris Evans sex yet. So let's see if we get to that moment. And that's all I got.
Very cool. Very cool.
Nice.
That was a good list. And now it's time for our annual. I think we're a little late this year. I think we've done it earlier in the past. However, given COVID, I think we get quite an excuse. It's time for our annual pilot script discussions.
Yes. I'm excited for this one.
Yeah. This is the third time we're doing it. In the past, we've all picked a pilot script that interested us in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. We've read the script, and we just give our ideas on whether or not we think it's going to work, whether or not it's good. Mm-hmm. And let's get right into it. Mark, what did you pick?
Ooh, all right. Thank you. Yes. So a little birdie said, I have some scripts for you. And I said, gimme, gimme. And here we are. And as you guys know, I had a few that I wanted to pick, but I went with Clarice. So let me tell you a little bit about Clarice. Of course, because of COVID, it seems like Clarice will be mid-season next year. So we'll probably see it on CBS like anywhere between January and
April. Oh, it's CBS?
Yes, it's CBS, Tom.
Oh, no. Does it feel
CBS? Is it CBS or CBS All Access?
You know, good question, Foom. I'm pretty sure it's CBS.
Does it feel CBS?
You know, well, like I was saying, I liked Evil. I didn't get very far in it, not because I stopped.
I loved Evil.
I just had other shows to watch. I thought Evil surprised me because it actually was pretty creepy. It was well done, well shot. It wasn't corny because CBS is not my forte. But Evil, I liked. So this feels like it could be another Evil, and I believe it will be taking Evil's, as of right now, it will be taking Evil's spot on the schedule next year at once Evil season 2 is done. So they want to, you know. But so Clarice, as you guys can probably tell, is all about Clarice Starling from The Silence of the Lambs and from Hannibal. So Jodie Foster, huge role. I forget the girl that is playing her. She's a little bit of a lesser known. She's Australian. But so Clarice is all about, which is interesting, it's not modern day. It is set in like 1992, 93.
Oh.
Yes, 1 year after the events of The Silence of the Lambs.
That's kind of cool.
Not of Hannibal. Cool.
Not of Hannibal, no. So yeah, I don't really remember the timeline exactly, because Hannibal in
she
that
loses
world,
her hand in Hannibal, doesn't she?
She does lose her hand, yeah. So, and that was a good few years after Silence of the Lambs, like 10
uh-huh.
years.
Oh yeah,
ish.
Yeah.
So no, this takes place 1 year after the Silence of the Lambs. She's still getting over her whole crazy ordeal. As you remember, hopefully no spoiler alert, she kills Buffalo Bill at the end of that movie in his creepy basement and saves this would-be victim of his named Catherine and that little dog and the whole put the lotion in the basket
thing. Yep.
So she saved Catherine Martin, and it's a year later, and both she and Catherine Martin are still definitely grieving and, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder, and they are trying to get their lives back together. So right off the bat, I would say I'm super curious about it, mostly because I have a feeling it's going to be sort of problem of the week-ish, but I'm mostly intrigued because we rarely ever see this kind of sequel, which is less about Clarice, you know, being targeted again or whatever. It's more about her trying to build herself back up again.
So it's a character study.
Oh, for sure. It is all
very
about
very interesting.
Very in her head. We will see, according to the script, flashbacks to the movie. So they'll recreate, you know, the well that Catherine was in the basement and that whole bit. We will see flashbacks to her mom, because as you remember in the Silence of the Lambs, she talked a lot about her family, her father, the lambs, all that business. So we'll see flashbacks to that. So it's interesting. We're really getting to know her more, which I'm cool with. I think that's really interesting. But the big premise is Catherine, the woman she saved, her mother is this bigwig, not district attorney. See, it's kind of, the script is a little hard for me to read because there are a lot of these terms that I don't really get. She is the, not DA, she's the something else. High up in a U.S. government. Come
prosecutor?
Back to me.
Prosecutor?
No.
Attorney General?
Attorney General. Thank you, Flume. AG. Not DA. AG. She's
AG.
Attorney
yep.
General. And she, on paper, is a boss bitch. She is tough. And she thanks Clarice. And even though Clarice really needs some time and she's like seeing therapy and all that, Catherine Martin's mom, the Attorney General, says, I need you to solve another case. We have another serial killer targeting women. I don't care if you're not ready. You saved my daughter. You're my hero. You got to do it. And so Clarice, whether she likes it or not, is thrown into a whole new grisly thing as the paparazzi are constantly invading her. So I'm into it. It feels good. It feels like, yes, we're going to see more murder, but we're going to really see how this woman is not fully prepared to do this again, how earth-shattering the whole ordeal was for her. So I like it. I'm cool with it. We'll see. I don't know if I'll watch every episode, but I'm definitely going to watch the pilot.
Okay, nice. Cool. Fumi, what did you pick?
I am so excited for this. It's Anatomy of a Scandal, and it's going to be on Netflix, which I'm actually a little surprised about because I feel like it would be better suited as a weekly, and you guys know I don't like to say things like right, that because I like to be able to binge my shit. But once I tell you about the concept, you'll understand where I'm going with this. So it is based off of a book written by Sarah Vaughan. And this is a David E. Kelly show. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so reading the script, I totally got, like, I could see the entire series. I could see how it looks, how it's shaped, the actors. It takes place in Britain. It follows a relationship that one person is accused of rape. And so it follows like how that works in terms of like a relationship rape type situation. So the characters are James and Sophie, who are a married couple. Olivia, who accuses James, who she was having an affair of rape. And Kate, who is a barrister or solicitor, whichever one they are in Britain, lawyers, takes on the case for Olivia, who's accusing James of rape. Guys, it was such an easy read for the script. Just tell that this is going to be one of those shows that are going to like draw people in. I say I feel like it's more of a weekly versus a bingeable because I feel like they could really hold on to the ending and do really good cliffhangers and have people talking and getting excited for the next week. And then like show the next episode. I believe it's going to be a limited series on Netflix. This particular story is just going to be like their first season. I think Netflix has an idea of like wanting to do an anthology with this. So each season will be a different anatomy of a scandal.
Cool.
But okay. This one, oh, it's, I loved every single second of that, of the read. I was just like, give me more. I want to know. I already, just from the first episode, from the pilot, I already feel like I know exactly how it's going to play out. I know exactly how it's, what's going to happen. And I just can't wait to like, see what else they have.
It sounds like, because you talk about it being a British show. It sounds like
Liar.
No. I don't know. I didn't see Liar, but I'm getting like a mix of like Broadchurch and The Bodyguard is what it from based on what you described to me. But neither of those two shows.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I don't know. I did get Liar vibes, which is a show that I talked about on this podcast.
Yeah.
Basically, it's about a woman and a man who had like one date and she accused him of rape. So that's kind of where my mind was going reading it. But I feel like David E. Kelly, I feel like it'll eventually probably look more like a Big Little Lies kind of thing.
That's what
I feel like it'll probably look like. But I think that it's going to be really good. I can't wait to see how it all plays out.
The title sounds super familiar. Like, I feel like, is it based off of a book? Okay.
Yes.
I must have heard it or seen it somewhere. Yeah. Okay.
Netflix had not had a chance to yet start production. It was obviously supposed to start, but COVID pushed it now. So who knows when it'll actually get into production. I know Netflix has been very vocal about the fact that they are going to be shooting a lot overseas. So maybe it'll start picking up soon. I'm not sure when we'll be able to see it, but keep your eye out for it.
Cool. Love that.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds great. I will definitely check that out. So I picked 30 something else. As you guys know, Jeff and I spent most of our quarantine binging the original 30 something series, which was a massive hit on ABC in the late 80s and early 90s. Racked up 42 Emmy nominations, ended up winning 13. It was the launch pad for Ken Olin and Patricia Wettig, who are pretty well known today and still very much working. Ken Olin especially, as he is EP on This Is Us, and he directs 6 episodes per season. So 30-something Else is a sequel series, and it follows the characters who were in their 30s in the original series, plus their children who are now in their 30s.
Cool.
So it's a great way to like kind of reel in the old, but make it fresh and new. I love the script. I thought it was great. The writers and EPs from the original wrote the pilot script, and it definitely, as far as the old characters go from the original, he definitely maintains all of their personality, all of the way they speak. I was very much impressed with that, how much it felt like no time jumps between the series finale of the original and what you're seeing in the pilot script for the new one.
Cool.
Gives it an update, right? So the 4 kids who are the center of the sequel series, they're dealing with anxiety, depression. One of them is an opioid addict, so it feels very modern. They're going to be dealing with a lot of the dramas that we deal with in everyday life today as millennials, because this group of characters is going to be millennials. They update it for race and sexuality as well. 30 something. One of its downfalls was that because it aired in the late 80s, it was very white. So one of the daughters, her boyfriend is black. He's a main character of the show now. One of the daughters is a lesbian and she is dating a Latina woman. So they definitely threw some color in there, which I very much appreciated. And they did it in a way that feels authentic, not overdone. So I'm totally excited. I was surprised at how much screen time the old characters get.
I was going to say, are they like, do you think they'll be in not only the pilot, but like in the whole series?
Based on what I saw in the pilot, I would say the script was truly divided 50-50 between old characters and new.
Cool.
So I was very much impressed with that. The only thing I will say, if I'm thinking of 2 shows to compare it to that are on air today, what automatically comes to mind is This Is Us and A Million Little Things. 30-something Else felt a little more Million Little Things than it did This Is Us. And I say that only because This Is Us is all about a family. Million Little Things is about friendship. And so it's kind of gravitating toward that. Also, Million Little Things, what's so great about This Is Us and you could tell the inspiration was 30 something, is that they take their time with their scenes. They're not afraid. This Is Us is not afraid to have a 4 or 5 minute scene, which is very rare on broadcast television. Million Little Things is not like that. There's a lot of quick jumps. This script was a little bit fast. It moved.
What network is it supposed to be on?
It's going to be on ABC.
Yeah. It's interesting that ABC wants to bring this back, knowing that A Million Little Things is still on the air, because they are similar.
Yeah, because they got renewed too. Yeah.
Right. So yeah. So,
are you nervous about it being on ABC?
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I think this could be their This Is Us if they do it right.
It's a cool idea. I mean, I never watched the show, but I know you love the show.
Loved 30 something. I thought it was fantastic. Yeah.
And now
still holds up really well.
Do we know if the new show is going to be like a shorter season? Have we heard at all? Like how many episodes?
I don't know how many episodes. Unfortunately, they were only midway through production of the pilot when COVID hit. So.
Right. Yeah. So it'll be a little while. Yeah. Cool.
But it did go straight to series. They did order it straight to series.
Right.
I am so surprised. Well, I'm not surprised Tom picked 30 something else or whatever it's called. But I am surprised that you both have broadcast.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, Fum. I also really wanted to read, speaking of David Arquette, the Courtney Cox Shining Veil stars horror comedy. So I'm gonna read a whole bunch more just personally. But yeah, I was kind of intrigued to see how this could go on CBS, because CBS is not for me, like I said, but sometimes they actually do decent things. So yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. So what are you guys thinking about fall at this point? Do we have enough of an idea to know what it's going to look like?
It's going to be a very interesting
fall. I mean, we touched on it a little bit last episode when we said that CW is basically buying up lesser viewed properties that have previously aired. CBS
did the same thing.
Yeah.
Fox did the same thing. CBS is really hopeful that they're going to have some kind of a fall season. I'm like, yeah. Okay. I mean, maybe
if they here's the thing, if networks think they can shoot, I mean, then their premieres are not going to be like late September. They're going to be
they're definitely not going to be September.
Late October or November, you know, premiering. So you're going to have to fill something in September and October, you know.
Yep. And I mean, a lot of shows, like Ryan Murphy has said, sorry guys, there's going to be no American Horror Story in 2020.
That's right.
Don't anticipate it, because he was going to film in P-Town and he can't do that in Provincetown unless it's off season.
Yeah, but he also said he's bringing an American Horror Story into like anthology.
Yeah, which is like whatever.
I know. Is that interesting? Because I know he was saying the new season of AHS was weather dependent and like, yeah, beachy. So it's Provincetown. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know how the fall is going to shape. I know production companies are really eager to get back and studios really want to get back, but a lot of actors, from what I read, are not quite there yet.
Well, also SAG is very...
Gabrielle is be working.
Yes. Yeah. Gabrielle Carteris, she said, okay, you didn't want me on BH 90210? Well, then I am making sure all these studios know who is in charge. She's like, yeah, so SAG right now, like they are, of course, being very strict about any new show or movie, you know, shooting. Which is good. I mean, yeah, you know, there's got to be a real plan in place. But even like I was reading, I don't watch the show, but like Ruby Rose, who was Batwoman on the CW, she's like no longer going to be Batwoman, but the show is definitely renewed and continuing. So like even when you don't even think of COVID, like I just feel like there's some weird, crazy stuff that we're going to be seeing on TV that it's like, okay. Weird.
Yeah, it all remains to be seen. And I think we're going to hear about it pretty soon, whatever these plans are. So. Yeah. I don't know.
Time's a ticking.
We shall see. But that is our episode for the week. Thank you so very much for sticking with us. Mm-hmm. Don't forget our little friend that we introduced you to last time, Earl. And he's our acronym, and that means engage, review, listen. Engage with us on social, review us on iTunes, and listen to past episodes on Add This to Your List.
My name is
we
Earl.
Said that. I was like, who is Earl?
Well, he's offended, Fumi. And that's it. And we'll be back in another 2 weeks to tell you what we got on our list. And we will see you then.
Absolutely. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.